and let's start that learning board.
I was born in West End, Birmingham, Alabama.
What year?
1922.
So you're an old man.
I am quite old. I'll be 74 in May 12th.
Okay. And what
was
your family like then?
My father was a construction worker. My mother was a housewife. She raised four children. She had three girls and myself.
Are you the youngest?
I'm next to the youngest. I have a younger sister.
Okay. Which one's
his? Betty.
Betty.
Okay.
All right. And did y'all attend church when you were a child?
Yes, we went to quite a few churches. At one time, we didn't own a house. Back there, you didn't own houses as readily as you do now. We rented quite a bit. My dad, like I said, was on construction. He'd go out of town and work back and forth. And we would go, like, if we went to, say, Montgomery, he worked. He was a Methodist, and mother was a Baptist. And sometimes we'd go to the Methodist church, and sometimes we'd go to the Baptist church. So we was in church, and she kept us in church quite a bit.
Which one did you like better, Methodist or Baptist?
The Baptist. I like the Baptist. I think the Methodist is a little stricter on you than the Baptist church.
Right. I've never been to Methodist,
so
I wouldn't know.
So I was sprinkled and I was also baptized.
That's a good world, I guess.
Right.
What about education? Did you go to school?
I went to Lee School in West End, grammar school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to, which your daddy did also.
Right.
And I went to West End High, graduated from West End High, which your father did also.
So what year did you graduate?
1941.
Okay. And then, what did you do, like, when you do anything around the house, or did you have a job, or?
When I graduated, my father got me a Social Security. He wouldn't let me work until I got out of school.
That's
he wouldn't
good.
Even let me throw papers.
Wow.
He wouldn't let, he thought that it would distract me.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be wanting to make money and wouldn't finish high school. He didn't finish high school. Mama didn't finish high school. And he figured, well, somebody's going to finish high school. I mean, my two sisters did finish ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted me to finish, for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, he wouldn't let me work, wouldn't let me do nothing until I finished. But when I finished, he got me a Social Security card and also a union ticket for the IBEW. And that's when I got into the union at that time. This is a finished high school.
Right. Unions were a good idea? Did they help out? Or?
Back in the old days, the unions did great because the wages were so low. Because I started for 75 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was an electrician at that time. I started to help him. He was making $1.50 an hour, and I was making 75 cents an hour. But that was good money back in there because
right.
The other people, I was probably the richest young man in West End, but I'm making $35 a week, which is 75 cents an hour, 40 hours. So I'd make 35, there's nothing coming out of that, $35, you know.
Did it have anything to
do with
it?
Nothing with federal taxes and stuff like that. I just got $35, and that was good. The other boys around my age, or young men around my age, was making about $12 a week.
Wow.
And so I was making almost three times as much as they were.
Uh-huh.
And the union was good at that time. It was, it kept sweatshops down, and it kept on going, and it brought us out of depression. I lived through the depression.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. How old were you when it hit?
I can't remember when it hit, but I know I must have been 4 or 5 years old when it was coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It hit back in that time. It seems like probably 1929, I believe.
Yeah.
That's when it was coming out. I mean, that's when it hit. 28, 29, and 30 was the hard parts of it.
How did it affect your family?
Well, we just... We lost a home. We lost two homes. No, lost one home and two cars. And you know, we just couldn't get jobs. Couldn't pay for a home. Couldn't pay for cars.
Right. So your dad lost his job?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And, and that's what I said. He went all over the country looking for work. But,
did your mother work?
No, mother never did work. Mm-hmm. She's just a housewife. And that's what, back that day, that's just about what they did.
Right.
They just stayed home.
Hmm. Did you, so you were real young when it hit, so you really don't remember much of the political part of the Depression, like the New Deal, or?
No, I don't, I was too young at that time. I know Hoover was president at that mm-hmm. time. And, Roosevelt came in there and brought us out of the Depression,
right.
I was supposed to have, you know, and I don't know, politically, I don't know how he did it. I know had new deals mm-hmm. and such as that going on, you know, but being young, I really don't know.
You didn't care too much about it.
I was worried about politics
right.
too much at that time. I was trying to get something to eat.
Okay, you know. I understand that. Well, did you meet grandmother before or after the war?
I met her, let's see, I was before the war, before I went off service. She had came up there to be a beautician. She came to beautician school in Birmingham from Heckley. And she stayed over to her aunt, Franklin, Miss Franklin. She stayed at her aunt's house, Miss Franklin. And that was also out in West End. And I was, and Nelson Franklin was her cousin, male cousin. And we were playing on the same ball team. And he'd eat over at my house, and I'd eat over at his house. And eating over at his house, I met your grandmother.
Right.
And we went out on a couple of dates. And then I went off to service. And I didn't see her again until I got back. Well, when I was in California, I wrote her a letter and asked her if she'd wear my ring, be engaged to me.
Oh.
And I sent her a ring from California.
I didn't know that.
That's
good. Yeah. So when did you get married? Right when you get back? Or?
We got married in 1945. Yeah, that's when I got out of service. I started dating them pretty mm-hmm. regularly then. About a year after I got out. I guess it was late 45, or first 46, I think it was late 45 when we got married. Mm-hmm. We got married at Brother William's house, the preacher's house.
Mm-hmm.
So we got married at his house.
Well, when did you decide to join the Navy?
Well, when they started with the papers, you know, they came out and they were beating the drums and blowing the bugles and telling how the Japanese was cutting our men's head off, and they was raping the nurses and mm-hmm. doing all that stuff over there. And of course, it just got me off. Well, I was ready to go, so I volunteered to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I guess, that's one reason. Well, I'm sure they was doing that, but you know, political. That was sort of like to bring everybody up. You know, they was trying to register everybody and getting it. But I wasn't drafted. I volunteered to go
mm-hmm.
in.
Well, what made you choose the submarine?
Well, of course, when I went in, I went on out to San Diego for my basic training. And, of course, you have to take tests when you go in. And I took tests and going. I had done a small amount of electrical work, but just enough to make me make pretty good grades on the test.
Mm-hmm.
So there they sent me up to Minnesota and to another electrical school up there. And I came out top 10 up in that school, and then they sent me back down to Washington, D.C. to advanced electronics school, and I came out good in that school up at the top here, and I had my choice of going anywhere, any place in the Navy, as at that time I got worked up to electrician second class, which you didn't get that rate until you was in many years if you didn't go to these schools.
Yeah.
Me, Vance and I got through the school, so I was second class electrician, and then you had your choice of anything, like I said, and not like even our commander of that base when I told him I wanted a submarine. But I just thought I'd like submarine, the silent service. And I thought, well, that's what I want to be in. And that's what I told the commander, and it surprised him. He said, Bob, I'm going to pay you. You should go on a battleship. That's where we need you more. Well, you experience and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The electronics and stuff experience. said, you won't have that much on the sun. I said, I know, but I want the sun. And so that's how I chose.
What was it like down there?
Hot, sweaty, real close. You're real close with you. About 60 people on the sub, and you're real close with them. Mm-hmm. They come just like brothers, so you know, right with you all the time. And it's hot and sweaty, and you can't. I smoked at that time, and usually after you get down, say a day or something, mm-hmm. the oxygen is so bad you can't even strike a match. You ain't got enough oxygen in the tank. So it gets pretty bad, but you had, as you went out, you stayed 3 months out, and you came back in, you had 3 months liberty. Then you had 3 months to work on the sub to get it to put back out again. So we was out 90 days liberty, 90 days repairing the sub to go back out. That was our routine. It was good for liberty. I mean, you could go anywhere you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't confined just to a ship. You didn't have to come back every night. You got your sea bag and walked off that sub and you was gone 3 months. But you better be back in that 3 months. I don't care if you came back to the United States, like from Australia. Uh-huh. If you came back to the United States, they didn't care. But you better be back there. You better be back after 90 days. You better be back to up on that gangplank and go back up to the submarine.
How often did y'all get to, like, surface when you were out? For that 3 months when you're out in the water, or did you get to come?
Oh yeah. See, it's not like the nuclear subs. Now they can stay down for months, years, and everything mm-hmm. else. We had to surface every night,
oh, okay.
if possible. And we'd surface every night. Our subs at that time is what they call diesel electric subs, because mm-hmm. they're powered by a diesel engine when they're on the surface, and when they're submerged. They're run by batteries, and as soon as it gets dark, the sub comes up and charges its batteries. You have to charge them every day or every other day as soon as you can, mm-hmm. so that when you go down, it can still maneuver and run your sub. Maybe run your, move the sub forward or aft or whatever. And that's what we was doing when I got hurt with the scar on my arm. That's a story it's own, though, I guess, unless you want to hear it.
I'd like to.
One night it was moonlight night, and it was, and by the way, you'd have to dump your trash every night, your garbage, you know, because it'd build up and mess mm-hmm. like that. You go up, you put them in a sack, and then you throw them overboard. And that's what you do every night, so you won't accumulate so much trash on your ship, your boat. So it was a moonlight night, and of course, the people, electricians and engineers, motor mechs and stuff like that, they usually stay down all the time underneath. We very seldom got up. And so skipper called out and said, anybody wants to come up and get some fresh air, come on up. You know, so I came up there, and I took the, you got a high lookout, which is way up at the top one that looks for out of periscope. Mm-hmm. Then you got two medium lookouts, which is halfway down. Then you got two more bottom lookouts. So you got five people up there all the time. And we was rotating. And I took the high, you know, they'd come down and let somebody else come up and get some air, mm-hmm. fresh air. Because you can't get much air in a sub. And so I was up on high lookout. And like I said, moonlight night, I don't know what. By the time I got up there and got my glasses on, got to looking around, you got the binoculars, you look around. Diving. So it went on boom, 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 and everybody started down. Well, the high lookout is the one that closes the hatch. Mm-hmm. Everybody else gets on down, even when they're flooding the ship to go down. He's the last one down, and he reaches up and grabs the hatch and pulls it down and cranks it over. Well, I reached down up like that, and I felt the steam on my arm. I pulled it on down and wrapped it up. But when I got down, of course, there was airplanes coming in. They had two or three airplanes that caught us on the surface, and they were shooting bullets at us down there. They were shooting down. And I'm sure a bullet didn't, but I think what happened, a bullet hit some of the metal up there, and a piece of metal cut my arm across. I still got the scar there. But, and we went on down, and of course, we was all right that way, but of course. I lost a lot of blood with that, mm-hmm. but and of course they got it up. I didn't lose no time. A lot of times when you come in for your 30 days, every time you come in, you have to go for a psychologist. They look at see if your brain is still good. They check you out, see if you're thinking good. Mm-hmm. They ask you some crazy questions and all that stuff. And then you got to go to a dentist, and then you got to go to a doctor and let them check you out. And before you go out on the next run, you go through the same, after you come off that 90 days on the shore, mm-hmm. you go back through the same deal. They go back to the psychologist, let them see, and then they check you out, dentist again, and all right back before you go back. And that's what you go through every time. Every time you go out, every time you come in, and get ready to go back out again. Right. Mm-hmm.